Wild card round. Welcome to Fantasy Football Today. What's going on, everybody? Adam Azer, Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg. This is our off-season show. We are doing one a week until, you know, it gets closer to 2016 season, and we'll ramp it up. Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Guys, I'm going to tell you, there's only one game that I feel really good about picking this weekend. Kansas City is going to easily beat the Houston Texans.
Easily?
I feel differently. I think Houston wins.
Really?
Yeah.
I agree with you, Adam. I don't think it's going to be easy, though. I think it's going to be like a 9-6 type game. Very low scoring.
24-10.
9-6 type games anymore. Now, 9-6 now is like 20-17.
Didn't we just have one in week 17?
A 9-6 game?
Yeah, something low scoring. Wasn't there a really low scoring game recently?
There was a 10-3 game involving the Chiefs and the Chargers a couple of weeks before.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Maybe.
Well, how are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. It's off season, you know, so now I get to watch like other sports, which is cool, but.
This is like your best time because no baseball yet. Yeah. Football's done.
This is my summer vacation.
Yeah.
And.
Except you're wearing a parka and you haven't shaved in about a month.
That's because it's summer vacation. Well,
no, I should take it back. You're wearing a parka and you haven't shaved in about 4 hours.
Yeah, it's pretty serious over here. No question.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I want to read some commissioner problems that we've been emailed about, but here's what we're going to do on today's show. We're going to preview the four games, help you set a FanDuel lineup, and if you are playing in any type of playoff fantasy football league where, you know, you have to kind of guess who's going to be playing a lot of games, we'll help you out in those formats too. But the email address, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Here are a couple of commissioner questions. Dave, this one is from Josh Freeman's number one Colts fan in a city in Northern Illinois.
We'll go with Bloomington.
Okay. Dear Cool, Cooler, and Coolest. I'm fine being any of those three, so won't even.
Well, how do you know he didn't mean me, Dave, and Heath?
I don't know that, but since I was nominated for Homecoming King and Prom King, I'm guessing I'm one, two, or all three of those.
You know, the middle one, Cooler, could also refer to the device that's used to keep items cold.
Or in gambling terms.
Oh, that's yeah.
That's your point. You're the Cooler?
Yeah.
All right.
It's a great movie, by the way.
It is.
10-team league ended in week 16. Had a situation in our league where the championship was decided by 1 point. Team A was losing by a point and had nobody left to play. Team B was up by a point and had the Denver defense left on Monday night. Because our league has negative points for a team defense, although they would have to give up a lot of points and have no sacks or turnovers, Team B, up a point, decided to bench Denver and not play a defense due to the fact that he was up by one. However, later in the week, there was a scoring correction. D'Angelo Williams got stat corrected for a fumble, lost 2 points. So instead of winning by 1 point, he lost by one.
Uh-huh.
And now that team is complaining to the commissioner that if he would have started Denver's defense, had it been tied or if he was losing, he would have won. So what do you think the commissioner should do here? The guy benched Denver's defense thinking he won. Stat correction, he lost. And obviously Denver's defense would have won him the league.
The guy that benched the Denver defense is the loser.
I agree.
He made the decision to bench his team, his defense. And as a result, he dealt with the stat correction, knowing full well that there are stat corrections, and he lost.
Interesting.
What would you have done?
I think you have to do that, but maybe I'd find a way to, like, if there's money involved, maybe I'd give a little bit more to the runner-up, to the guy
what?
Who... because he made the right...
How is that fair?
He made the right play. Okay, first of all, let's be real here. So we talked a couple weeks ago about that stat correction happening too late, and Jamie said the guy who won, you know, after the stat correction should be awarded the win, and he should be playing for the championship, whatever. This is a little bit of a different situation because he would have won if he had started the Denver defense. Like this guy, let's call him Team B, who was winning by a point and then ended up losing. Team B had the better team that week and should have won, and he made the right strategic play. So I don't really want to punish him. He's the rightful winner, in my opinion.
Hold on a second, Jamie. Have you ever benched a defense or a player going into the game to clinch a victory ever in your life?
No, because I think most of my leagues, you get a legal
lineup. Zero for an illegal lineup.
Right, yeah. So I would imagine this is probably on another site that's not on our site. So
It could be on our site too.
Yeah, but no, I've never done it because leagues I play in any sport, you get an illegal lineup notification and you get a zero.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man, but you're responsible for your own team. You made the decision to bench the Denver defense and take a zero at defense. You should not get a redo on your lineup.
Okay.
I don't know if this is a similar scenario or not, but what if, let's just say, he had started Demaryius Thomas, right, going into the Monday night game, and all of a sudden, last minute, Demaryius is inactive. He has nobody else to play.
No, that's not it's not a similar scenario.
No, but I'm
well, he could always cut Demaryius for somebody else.
Yeah, that's
though.
True.
Well, here's the thing. I have never done this in football because of what you said, if you'd be in a legal lineup, but I've done it in baseball where I'm playing in a categories league and I'm winning WHIP or ERA or something like that going into the Sunday night game or the late Sunday games, and I bench my pitchers, my relief pitchers, because I don't need them. And that's a perfectly sound strategy. And if you can get away with it.
You bench them or you take them out?
I bench them.
So you don't replace them with someone?
No, I bench them.
He replaces them with somebody.
No, I do not replace them with anyone. I just flat out bench them.
Okay.
Yeah, it depends on the format of your league, but you can do that in certain leagues. I think this guy made the right decision to bench the Denver defense, and I think he got kind of screwed by a stat correction, and he's the better team that week.
But to the emailer's point, I assume the emailer, Josh Freeman's number one fan, is probably the commissioner, or at least is an innocent bystander in this. He obviously mentioned that you'd have to give up a lot of points and have no sacks or turnovers to get more than a negative one.
Yeah.
So did he strategically make the right decision knowing that there could have been a stat correction at some point?
Well, I guess people probably don't think about stat corrections. So I see your point. All right, next one. One more commission. We're also going to do our top 12 for 2016, by the way. I forgot to mention that. This is from Nick. And where's Nick from?
He is from Pacific Palisades, California.
Jamie and I don't think we've read this one, so I was supposed to read it. I think I forgot, so if I'm reading it again, sorry, everybody. All right, Nick says, my roommate has been giving me crap for the dumbest thing that ever happened this year during our fantasy league. Let me start off by saying neither of us made it into the championship. We had a guy in our league who wasn't setting his lineup. The week my roommate was playing him, I texted the guy who wasn't setting his lineup, and I told him to set his lineup. Was I trying to be competitive and screw my roommate over? Absolutely. Still, though, I didn't tell him who to play or even set his lineup for him. I just told him to set it. He did set his lineup, and my roommate lost and was upset because he was expecting an easy win. Did I cheat by texting the guy to set his lineup? Also, is telling people to set their lineup an okay thing for a commissioner to do? It seems ridiculous to me, but maybe he's right.
I think it's your obligation as a commissioner to make sure everybody's trying.
I agree.
It's not a fun league if not everybody's trying.
Yeah, I mean, I get it that people get, you know, disinterested once they're out of it. And usually you hope that's by the end of the season, if in fact that does come to pass. But I know there was one league where I loved my team coming out of the draft, and I was just crushed by injuries and everybody stunk. But every week I set my lineup because I knew I had a responsibility to the rest of the league to at least try and potentially, you know, upset somebody or knock them off. So I think as the commissioner, if you notice that's going on, and I've even been in one league, the commissioner was a little over the top this year, but he made it a point at the beginning of the season. He said, look, if I see you're not setting your lineup, either I'm going to set it for you or I'm going to make sure you set it. And if you don't set it yourself, you're out of the league next year. You know, he was very clear about this.
Mm. Well, okay. What about this guy, though, not the commissioner, texting his roommate's opponent, telling him to set his lineup?
I probably would have said something to my roommate first and been like, look, I need to win. I need to get in. The guy you're playing hasn't been trying. I'm going to tell him to set his lineup because he's got to beat you.
Mm. Yeah, you could tell him, and there's still nothing he can do about it. What's he going to do? Text the person that's setting his lineup and say, hey, don't set your lineup? Like, it's – let people do what they want with their teams. And the person who didn't set his lineup could have just as easily said, yeah, I'm out of it, and I haven't set my lineup for weeks anyway. Why should I start now?
Right.
It was his decision to set his lineup. I do like the idea of a commissioner reminding people, doing what your commissioner did, Jamie, which is, if you don't set your lineup, I will. I want a competitive league.
Yeah.
People want a competitive league. They pay for that.
Right.
Yeah.
It's part of their league.
Mm-hmm.
Part of being involved.
All right. Those are your commissioner conundrums.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Thank you, Dave. All right. Some injuries for you for this weekend. And this is part of the reason why I like the Chiefs so much. Houston left tackle Dwayne Brown is out. He had surgery, and that's tough against this Chiefs team. Marshawn Lynch expected to play. D'Angelo Williams and Andy Dalton did not practice today on Wednesday. So are we thinking D'Angelo and Dalton probably won't play this week?
The Bengals have been preparing for AJ McCarron to start, so I think that's almost a certainty. D'Angelo, they keep calling him day-to-day. I'd be shocked if he plays.
They've already talked about using a rotation at running back in Pittsburgh with Fitzgerald Toussaint. or Toussaint or Toussaint, however you want to pronounce it.
Toussaint.
Because I'm not sure.
It's Toussaint.
He should really play for New Orleans.
Should be Croissant.
I remember him very well from Michigan. It is Fitz Toussaint.
Oh, so then Adam hates him because he's a Big Ten running back.
And then Jordan Todman will probably play on passing downs. They're going to use a bunch of guys.
You also forgot Jeremy Macklin's dealing with a hip injury. He was able to practice on Wednesday, but he did not practice on Tuesday.
Okay. Well, that would change things, but I'm banking on him playing.
Yep.
Dez Bryant.
Wednesday. You're good.
What's that?
He practiced Wednesday, so you're good.
Hooray! Dez Bryant having foot and ankle surgery and expected to be ready for training camp. We could talk about him. Maybe he sneaks into the first round next year. I doubt it, but let's do our top 12s. Top 12 for 2016. I'm guessing you guys did this in standard scoring formats?
Yes.
Yep.
All right. Who wants to go first?
Why don't you go first?
Ooh, okay. So the first five were very easy for me. And this number six wasn't that hard either, but here we go. Antonio Brown 1, Le'Veon Bell 2, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, Rob Gronkowski, and DeAndre Hopkins. That's my top six. Four receivers, running back, and a tight end. Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, Rob Gronkowski, and DeAndre Hopkins. All right, now the running backs come off the board. Number seven, Adrian Peterson. Number eight, Jamal Charles. Number nine, this one I'm having second thoughts about, Doug Martin. Number 10, David Johnson. Number 11, Todd Gurley. And number 12, Dez Bryant.
Why the hate for Todd Gurley?
Oh, it's seriously, not so much hate for him. It's that I think of all the running backs I've listed ahead of him, he's going to be in the worst offense, and he doesn't catch passes. I'm not saying he can't, but he hasn't. So I couldn't really justify moving him ahead of any of the other guys. But I think they're all pretty much the same after Le'Veon Bell.
I disagree.
I like Le'Veon the best. I like Gurley second best. One guy that I really have a problem with is Doug Martin, just because you don't know where he's going
to play. Okay, yeah. That's a good point. That is based on him coming back to the Bucs and then giving him a contract and commitment.
Right. Plus, he hasn't been the model of consistency throughout his career. I like what I saw from him this year. And apparently, he took on some good habits, and he stayed svelte, and hopefully he stays that way, and he doesn't revert to eating bad food and getting out of shape and not trying as hard. Remember, this was a contract year for Doug Martin. And now he's going to get paid, however much it is, for being a running back.
If I think just to stop there for a second, I think that's going to be real interesting with these guys that are in contract years, because
right,
how much money will they get? Because if they get...
But for them, like $3 or $4 million is a pretty good deal.
I totally agree. But does that make them... See, because if I'm looking at it from the running back position, knowing what the NFL is right now, understanding that $3 to $4 million a year is probably the average. Now, he's probably looking at maybe not DeMarco money, but somewhere in that neighborhood.
What was DeMarco? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Like $6 or $7 million a year?
Sounds about right. Like that's what I'm...
$5 million a year?
That's what I'm trying to get. I mean,
is that what Doug Martin's looking for, is $5 million a year?
You would assume so, depending
on
the salary cap.
It's like a $3 or $15 million deal.
Yeah, sounds about right. So like if I'm looking at that, is that the goal and I'm done and I'm happy? Or do I want Adrian Peterson money? Knowing that that's probably unattainable, but I did just compete for the rushing title. I did have one of the best years of my career. I did have one of the best years in Tampa Bay's running back history. And I'm still, 3 years removed from having a second year of that caliber. You know, so like I wonder what, to your point about, does he stay hungry and motivated? Is it, okay, I got my deal. Like Mark Ingram, for example. Mark Ingram got his deal, got the $4 million a year, and still went out and had a very good season. You know, mm-hmm. He didn't let the money affect him.
Right.
Stayed with the same team also.
Right. That usually helps.
Yeah. He averaged 4.9 yards per carry. And he only had, like, in his rookie year, he had a few games that really inflated his stats, kind of like Roethlisberger last year. But this year, he only had one game with 235 rushing yards. Everything else was, you know, pretty consistent. And he only had 6 touchdowns, Doug Martin. So I think that number goes up, in my opinion. It's kind of a low
number.
Yeah,
I don't like that he still spent time splitting with Charles Sims throughout the year.
Yeah. No, that's a thing, but I also think that helps keep guys healthy, so I don't completely hold that against running backs. And I think that would be, even though I don't have him at 12th, I have him 9th, he's probably, if I were going to remove someone, it'd probably be him. And if I were going to replace Doug Martin with someone, I think I'd either go Jordy Nelson or Cam Newton, who just had an unbelievable year. I believe it's the 4th best year for a quarterback since 2008 in fantasy. And I don't see anything really that's like an alarming stat. Oh, that's definitely not going to happen again next year. Maybe the rushing touchdowns, but
maybe. But the one thing, position scarcity, and there's a lack of that at quarterback this year, which I think makes Cam an easy guy to pass on in the first round.
Well, I don't want to take him in the first round, but I'm into safety in the first round. I just don't want to bust.
Yeah, I get it.
So anyway, you guys can conundrum. What did you think about Dez Bryant though, number 12?
He's 12 for me too.
He's outside of my top 12 just as of now. I want to see where he is coming off of the surgeries.
You'll move him up.
Oh, for sure.
It won't be now. It's going to be July or August.
For sure.
Something will happen. Everybody will be back to full health in Dallas, and you'll remember Dez Bryant. And I'm not talking to you specifically.
Yeah, no. I'll give you an example. So I did a draft. I was teaching a high school class for the last 3 days. And I know, Adam, you said we'll talk about this later. I don't know if it'll be relevant. But in any event, I did a draft with very, very knowledgeable kids. They all play fantasy, and they have a very good base of what they wanted to do. But we did it kind of just based off of nothing. You know, there was no rankings, no anything. So I obviously had a little bit of an advantage over what was happening here. But I got Dez Bryant in the fourth round of a 10-team draft.
Wow.
So you know, to Dave's point, you know, it's out of sight, out of mind in a lot of cases. I think there's going to be a lot of guys, superstar players. Dez, you mentioned Jordy. Alshon Jeffrey, I think, is going to be one. Kelvin Benjamin is going to be one. These bounce-back guys, injury bounce-back guys, are going to be such difference makers for fantasy owners next year. And Dez can definitely be one of those guys for sure, depending on if he goes round one, round two, in that range.
All right, next up, I'm going to go to my main man, Jamie Eisenberg.
So I went receiver heavy also at the top. I think that's the way the league is going right now, and running backs clearly are a little too risky. And I almost feel like I have too many in the first round. So Antonio Brown 1, Beckham 2, Julio Jones 3. I went Gronk 4. Then Le'Veon 5. I think he's the best running back. Gurley 6. It's very close between those two guys.
All right, let's slow it down. You have the same top 5 as me in a slightly different order. You went Brown, Beckham, Julio?
Brown, Beckham, Julio. Yep.
Gronkowski.
Yes.
And then Le'Veon. And I had Le'Veon second, Julio ahead of Beckham, but whatever. Okay, and then number 6, you had Gurley.
Yeah, Todd Gurley 6. I think, you know, your concerns are valid, and the division's still going to be tough with Seattle and Arizona and their run defenses. But he's a generational talent, and you see what he's capable of doing. So I don't like the fact that there's still injuries with him, that the turf toe now, and you wonder if this guy's always going to be nicked up in some way, shape, or form. But he's still worth the risk. He's one of the rare running backs that's worth the risk in the top 6. DeAndre Hopkins is next for me at 7. This is where I would put Dez if I was going to put him in the first round, would be 8. But I have Adrian Peterson at 8, David Johnson at 9, Thomas Rawls at 10, Devontae Freeman 11, and LeSean McCoy 12.
Okay, so very similar, except you don't have Doug Martin, Jamal Charles, or Dez Bryant. Instead, you have Rawls, Devontae Freeman, and who was the last one?
LeSean McCoy.
And LeSean McCoy.
Yep.
All right, Dave, your reaction.
Well, I think my reaction is going to be telling when I reveal my top 12.
Okay.
Because I feel the same way about both of you. I think you're both scared to trust certain running backs. And you crave that safety, and you know that you want those stud wide receivers. They're going to be there. They'll be there in the middle part of the first round, the later part of the first round. But if I could just get into my top 12, I'm going to go with one of my theories for 2016. Running back is the new tight end. And remember how tight end was. If you didn't get Gronk, you almost had to, you felt compelled to wait. You didn't want to deal with it. A lot of times you went to the waiver wire. You didn't want to invest too much in a tight end if you didn't get one of those studs. And you know that the running back position is getting watered down. But why in the world would you get away from a running back that has the makings to be a stud when they can get more points than a tight end? They can get more points than a wide receiver in non-PPR leagues. I know it's a risky position because we're coming off a year where they all got hurt.
Several years.
Yeah. I think last year was as bad as it's been for injuries. The thing that I'm worried about is that coaches are going to catch on and they're going to say, okay, I don't want to deal with having just one running back be my main guy, but there's still going to be a few coaches that are locked into one guy. St. Louis has that. Pittsburgh has that. Minnesota has that. Those are my top 3 picks in a fantasy draft. I have no problem taking a fresh-legged, young, consistent running back in Todd Gurley, who played incredible ball, including on the road at Arizona and at Seattle. Those are two tough divisions, or two tough matchups within the division. The Rams will be better next year, and they're going to be, their offense will revolve around Gurley. He is one of those rare Gronk-esque type fantasy players who can make a difference for your team. Why would you pass on him? Even for a safe wide receiver like Brown or Beckham, I can't do it and I won't do it. I think those guys are absolutely worth taking because they're rare at a position that is becoming more and more scarce.
Well, I think
as we move forward,
you pass on them because of what happened to him in week 17. There's injury concerns with him. I mean, it's turf toe now. It could be, you know, knee situation again,
or it could be
teams figuring out that that's the only thing that they have. And, you know, the games that he's had success is the games that they were winning. I don't know how many times that they're going to feel, how many times anyone's going to look at this looking next year, depending on clearly what the changes are, and say, yeah, I think St. Louis is going to beat Arizona this week. I think St. Louis is going to beat Seattle this week. And look at the games that he had. I mean, it was, you know, second half where he was able to show off his skills and get a ton of work and take advantage of those opportunities. I mean, you know, we talked about this going into the Seattle game in week 16 was, can the Rams win that game? And, you know, the thought was the score was going to be so out of whack that he wouldn't get the work. They played a great game, and he was able to have a dominating performance.
Right.
I think Gurley's great.
I don't know if we're talking about the same Todd Gurley, because he was the third most consistent running back in fantasy last year. He had 10 or more fantasy points.
Well, I mean, I don't want to make it sound like he's bad. I think you're looking at a guy that has a great opportunity to be very good. I just think that you look at what Antonio Brown does, there's no arguing he's the best wide receiver in fantasy.
He's not
right
my
now.
Number one receiver.
Okay. I don't know how you can make an argument for anybody else, but you look at what Beckham does, and clearly how dominant he is. You look at what Julio Jones did last year. I don't see that changing. And, you know, you talk about position scarcity. There's no denying what Rob Gronkowski is at his position.
You also named two wide receivers that were taken in the second round of drafts this past year.
Well, Todd Gurley's taken, what, the sixth round?
Maybe. But this year he's not going to be. He's going to be a first-round pick. Okay. And I think that that position is just what it's become now. It sucks. The average, the top 12 average at running back fell by 2.3 fantasy points.
And it's
going
to continue to fall.
It is. So I want a running back who's going to get away from that.
And it's still
going to
put up the
numbers. I can't guarantee that Antonio Brown's going to have Ben Roethlisberger for 16 games.
He didn't have him for 16 games this year.
We did. And we saw 3 games without him having him, and he stunk. I can't guarantee that Odell Beckham's going to behave like a good little boy every single
game. No, he's
going to
go headbutting.
And he's
going to,
well, but it, I mean, listen, we can play the if game with these guys as much as we want. And I'm not disagreeing with you. And I know that there's going to be people out there. Anybody who got burned by a first round running back this year, and anybody who's done zero running back, they're going to disagree with me. And they're going to say, I want to go safe with your first round pick. I get it. I'm telling you what I would do. And it's only 3 running backs that I have at the top. And then I go.
Wait. Let me jump in real quick here. Couple things. Now, you know, you mentioned that wide running back scoring was down this year, and Jamie said it's going to keep falling. I don't know if I agree with that, because this was a really bad year for running backs. It's just unusually bad.
And Adam, let me tell you what happened. The opportunities were there all along. It's just players kept missing opportunities. It's not like everybody started to suck. It's people got hurt. Somebody else got the points.
Yeah,
it was
Marshawn
Lynch for the first 8 weeks, and then it was Thomas Rawls for 6 weeks, and then Schlubs to finish out the season.
Right. And so, you know, I think like the big decision when it comes time to draft is going to be, are we overreacting to 2015? I think it's more like 2014 and 2015 personally, because I'm just tired of running backs. But all right, Dave, you're going, the other thing I wanted to say was with Gurley is that I just want to see him be more of a pass catcher, because when you have those running backs who have those like really special seasons, I feel like they do a lot of it through the air now, like Le'Veon Bell, Jamal Charles.
Yep. Sure. And we're talking standard leagues, and Gurley had better receiving numbers when Foles was under center. And when the Rams made a change at quarterback, his numbers went down. That could be a tendency thing. He proves that he can do it 3-4 catches per game.
He can do it.
They're
he can
talking
get
about
that
Keenan
done.
Being the starter going into the offseason, which
well,
is ugly.
And we'll see if that lasts or if they come to their senses and actually get a real quarterback in St. Louis.
All right, let's get the rest of Dave's top 12. So it's Gurley, Peterson, Gurley, Bell, Peterson?
Nope. Gurley, Le'Veon, AP.
Okay.
Odell Beckham is 4th. Antonio Brown is 5th. Julio is 6th. DeAndre Hopkins, 7th. Then Gronk. Then Jamal Charles. David Johnson. Allen Robinson, you have all slept on. I don't know why. And then Dez Bryant, 12.
I got no beef.
So I do have, five. He's going to be fine. So five running backs in my top 12.
I don't know. One thing about Allen Robinson, I don't know if this bothers you at all. He caught a very low percentage of his targets compared to some of the other elites, like just over 50%. And also, he got the most red zone targets, I think, in the NFL, or right up there. And that, so I've kind of noticed that can be a little bit fluky, like if you're depending on touchdowns. So that's why Allen Robinson felt more like a second round guy to me.
But he's 100% second round guy. And we had this conversation with Pete Prisco, obviously very well in tune with Jacksonville. And I totally agree with him. There's going to be a lot more mouths to feed with Marquise Lee and Rashad Green getting more playing time. And you look at what Robinson's numbers were when all three guys were playing well in terms of him, Allen Hurns, and Julius Thomas. He was fantastic, but they took a decline when everybody was there. You're also going to have a better defense in Jacksonville, presuming that they get some free agent signees and Fowler coming back, plus what they do in the draft. I think you're going to see them not being as many shootouts, which is going to hurt him as well.
That could hurt him. And if that happens, then I'll pull back on him. But we're also talking about one of the most consistent wide receivers in fantasy this year. 75% of the time, he got you at least 10 fantasy points. He did have a stretch there where he had either 11 or 12 fantasy points, but I mean, he was so good this year. I'm not ready to call him touchdown dependent. I do not like the catch ratio, but I wonder if some of that has to do with Blake Bortles not being at his best for a good chunk of the season. Because you remember how Bortles was playing, where for the first half he stunk, he was off target, and then the second half he'd come around. So I'm kind of banking on Bortles being better too. We'll see how the offense moves. I do agree that Jacksonville's defense, they've got nowhere to go but up. And my guess, and I talk with Pete too, and you know this, Jamie, the guess is that they're going to spend all their resources and all their draft picks on defense to try and turn that into a monster unit. And that would impact the passing game, not just for Robinson, but for Hurns as well. I'm not buying into Marquise Lee being a guy to take away numbers from Allen Robinson.
All right, Dave, I want to correct myself. Allen Robinson had the second most red zone targets. Julio Jones actually had 19 to definitely lead wide receivers and I think to lead all positions in the red zone. But Robinson did have the most red zone fantasy points. Can you read your top 12 again?
Sure. Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, Adrian Peterson, Odell Beckham, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, Gronk, Jamal Charles, David Johnson, Allen Robinson, Dez Bryant.
Very similar to mine, I guess. No Doug Martin in there, but Allen Robinson was in there. Why would you put Odell Beckham ahead of Antonio Brown?
Because I think that this year proved that he wasn't a one-year wonder. I expect the Giants' offense to be improved next year. I don't know how quickly their defense improves. They don't have the type of resources and then salary cap like the Jaguars have to try and make their defense better. And I also think that division's going to get better as a whole, and it's going to be more high-scoring games and more pressure on Eli to throw. And I think Odell, who was more consistent than Antonio Brown this year, that was really just because of Roethlisberger's injury. I think he's going to continue to be a great fantasy stud receiver.
I agree. I just Brown, 136 catches, same as Julio. Beckham only had 96. That's bold.
Well, this is standard scoring.
Yeah, I know.
PPR,
but he's still a better
receivers at the top. Even half point PPR, you've got to go receivers. There's just you can't get away from it at that point.
All right, I had two names I wanted to bring up. Thomas Rawls, Jamie. I talked about this on the radio show Saturday night with Dave. The reason I didn't put Rawls in there is he has this bad attitude of I am a failure if I go out of bounds and I don't take on contact, and he's like said that basically. And unless he commits to going out of bounds and avoiding contact, he's going to get hurt. He's just too little. So that's my concern with Rawls. And Dave and I both kind of felt like Devontae Freeman was a second-round pick. I don't really have a great reason for it other than he's only had like one stretch of five great games in his career, which is only 2 years old. But you had Rawls and Freeman and McCoy in there, Jamie.
Yep.
And we didn't. So you can discuss.
Yeah, Freeman was real close to making my top 12. I don't like what happened after his injury this year. I mean,
right.
It took him a while to rev back up and to play better. He finished the season with three games with at least 13 fantasy points. You got to call him a consistent. He had 11 games with 10 or more fantasy points. I believe that was tied for the best among fantasy running backs, and he was number one in his position both in standard half-point PPR and full-point PPR. I just think it's one of those regression-type things for the Falcons, and I don't know if he's going to be the only guy there. I still think they've got Tevin Coleman, and I think he'll take away work from him too.
Jamie, you want to talk about any of those three guys and why you put them in?
Well, I think you look at what Kyle Shanahan's offense has been. If he's still the offense coordinator there, the running backs tend to have a lot of success, and I think that will be the case for Devontae Freeman again. I like the fact that he's so involved as a receiver. I don't think that defense dramatically improves in the offseason, and I think his receiving ability and his pass blocking ability, which was always something that he was good at coming out of college, is going to keep him on the field more so than Tevin Coleman, unfortunately for Tevin Coleman. But yeah, Coleman will be a factor, which takes Devontae Freeman from being the number one overall running back down to fifth or sixth.
Where did you put him in your – he's in your top 12?
Yeah, he's my – I already did my running back rankings for next year. He's my, like, sixth best running back.
Okay.
And then
– Rawls and, Boyd, and McCoy. Rawls.
I'm sorry?
Rawls, McCoy.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you could – you know, injuries are going to be a concern with any running back. So if injury is the concern with Rawls, it's the same with Gurley. It's the same with Peterson going into, you know, age 31. And Le'Veon clearly has had two times with knee problems. So – you know, if you're going to nitpick with injury situations with guys, you know, and you're concerned about Rawls being hurt, I think that's, you know.
Well, no, but it's specifically with him. He's very small, and he takes on too much contact. So it was almost predictable
yeah, I mean,
that he got hurt.
You know, he could certainly take a lesson from Russell Wilson, who doesn't take hits at all.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
On the same team, and Russell Wilson knows how to go out of bounds. And, you know, that may be a conversation that has to be had with him in the offseason. And, look, there's still a situation where Marshawn Lynch comes back that keeps Thomas Rawls from – you know, being an elite level guy. So,
or they split.
Yeah, but I mean, if Lynch is back, there's no way you're taking Thomas Rawls anywhere near the first two rounds. And then with McCoy, look, he played very well in his first year in Buffalo. They were the best rushing offense in football. I don't see them getting away from that with Rex Ryan. And McCoy has certainly the pedigree and still well in his prime that he's going to have another good season.
I think you can make the case for McCoy being a first round pick because of what we saw this year and the fact that we know that Buffalo is going to continue to be a run-heavy team. But this is going to be a huge topic of discussion for us all offseason is collecting running backs from the same team, handcuffing. And in the case of Buffalo, McCoy is going to be a top 15 pick. And Carlos Williams, I don't know how far he's going to fall in drafts. I don't know if he's going to be available in round 8. I think some people might take him before then. And so if you get McCoy, you've got to get Carlos Williams. And I'm thinking you've got to dedicate two of your first five or six picks to that backfield just to lock it up. You should be set for the year, should be, between those two guys. But it's quite an investment that you'll have to make. But it's one that might be worth doing if you get a stud receiver late round one, and then you come back in round two, you get McCoy, and then you go like receiver, and then Carlos Williams, and then you start hoarding running backs.
Okay, let's talk about the weekend's action. Four games, wild card round, and this is a great time to play FanDuel. Play along with us. Go to FanDuel.com, the leader in one-week fantasy football. You can do NBA. You can do college basketball. You can do basically every major sport you can play on FanDuel. I'm super excited for baseball to start up again. But right now, I set my lineup, and I think it's kind of a tough week. That's to be expected when there are only four games, but I don't love my lineup. I'm interested to get your takes on it, but everybody, please play on FanDuel. We're going to be talking about it throughout the playoffs. It's really the best thing to play right now that seasonal fantasy is just about over. Additionally, there are, you know, playoff fantasy games that are going on where your incentive is to pick players who are going to both perform well and play for a while, play a lot of games. So we will bring that up as well. So let's talk about Kansas City and Houston. Let's start with that. You know, you are talking about two teams that are playing some of the best defense in the NFL. Kansas City is 10-0 in their last 10 games. In their last 12 games, they haven't allowed more than 22 points in any of those games. And Houston is 7-2 in their last 9 games, and they allowed more than 17 points only twice. And 5 times in those 9 games, the Texans have allowed 6 fantasy points. So in this one weekly matchup, Kansas City at Houston, is there anyone from this game that you want to start?
DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, but they've done such a good job against receivers, Kansas City.
Yeah. I think he's going to fall into production. I don't think he has one of those massive games. I think he has a good game.
He has like the Sammy Watkins game against them.
Oh, that's incredible game. That's 6 for 158 and 2.
Not 2, but I think he's going to be over 100. I think he scores.
I don't know. He hasn't. He's only scored, I think, twice in his last 6 weeks.
Yeah, I'll say he scored.
How many
of
those did he play with Hoyer?
Oh, yeah, not many. That's a good point.
I'm going to say he scores, but I bet he gets under 100 yards.
Well, I'm going to look at his price. Give me a moment. But I think he's the second most expensive wide receiver.
He is.
Okay. So, you know, I think A.J. Green is $500 cheaper, and he's a better value.
Oh, by far.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, totally agree with that.
So maybe Antonio Brown, 9,500. DeAndre Hopkins, 8,800. A.J. Green, 8,300. And then it drops.
He's the type of player you won't let other people chase.
Hopkins.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. So you'd start him.
I'm optimistic about him, but I don't think I'd want to use him in FanDuel.
Okay, okay, okay. What about the running backs? What about the Chiefs running backs? Who's the better one?
I mean,
you got to pick one.
If you know, the one thing is that if this becomes a game where they're having to throw, West should be more involved than Spencer Ware. You know, the only thing with Spencer Ware is his touchdowns.
Well, Spencer Ware is 5,400. If you're looking for a cheap running back, I really don't think there is another. There's one any cheaper than Spencer Ware. Matt Jones, maybe, that is going to even give you a chance at good production. So,
do you think Spencer Ware does what he did against Oakland?
No, he had 15 carries.
Is he even going to get 10 carries? Like, he had 16 carries in that game, 76 yards. He had the goal line touchdown. I don't know. I don't know if I want to trust that against Houston. And by I don't know, I mean not really. If you want to slide him in your lineup and hope that he can score and get you, I don't know, 20 to 30 yards on top of it, I understand. And he will open you up with 5,400 as his price tag. He will open you up to getting more expensive players at other spots.
Yeah.
I don't think he's an ideal play. He's just one of those cheap guys who might be a decent bargain.
It's a bad week for running backs.
Yes.
Yeah, I think A.J. Green is probably my favorite that I've seen, my favorite bargain. My favorite player.
Favorite bargain?
Not bargain. My favorite value. Because even though he is expensive, like he's a lot cheaper than Antonio Brown, who has done just okay against the Bengals this year. And he's cheaper than DeAndre Hopkins, and he owns Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I like Tyler Eifert's value.
Eifert, yeah. Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong. Eifert in that game against Pittsburgh, the last one they played, he had two catches for like 41 yards, but he only played one drive, right? And he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, he was on his way to a big game. Our last question about Kansas City and Houston. Can you see either of these teams playing more than two games, and would any players be good in any type of challenge?
It'd be a surprise. I mean, the winner's got to go to New England.
Not necessarily.
No, yeah, if Cincinnati wins, the winner goes to Denver.
Oh, I'm sorry, Cincinnati would go to... No, wait.
If Cincinnati wins,
yeah, right.
Then the winner goes to Denver.
This is the 4-5 game.
Yes.
Yeah. So the lowest remaining seed will go to Denver, the highest remaining seed will go to New England.
Right.
And you know what? That I was going to say, because I think Kansas City wins this game, and quite honestly, Kansas City should have beaten Denver twice this year. They blew that first game. Well, I think it was tied when Jamal Charles fumbled that ball. And then they destroyed Denver. So yep. I'm not sure the Broncos want to see the Chiefs.
No, I think the Chiefs win. I think, you know, it's hard to say quarterback's a big difference here because Alex Smith is who he is. But, you know, he's had some playoff success before. He's been in this spot before. Andy Reid's been in this spot before. And so, you know, if this game was in Kansas City, I think it would be very heavily favored for the Chiefs. But I think the Chiefs win this game.
All right, Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. If D'Angelo Williams were playing, it'd be a pretty easy Pittsburgh pick for me. But how do you guys see this one playing out? Pittsburgh at Cincinnati.
I think Pittsburgh still wins. I agree with you. I think if D'Angelo plays, it would be easier to look at them. But I always lean toward quarterback in the playoffs, and I think Roethlisberger wins the game for the Steelers.
Dave?
Yes.
Well, how do you feel about Pittsburgh-Cincinnati?
I think this might be the most fun game of the entire weekend. I agree that Pittsburgh wins. There's a part of me that doesn't want to do it though, because Cincinnati's had these one and done seasons for so long. And I kind of hate predicting that it's going to be another one, but I don't see the Steelers going in there and getting only 14 or 17 points. I think they're going to put up more points than the Bengals can deal with.
Okay, does Roethlisberger have a big game? He is the second most expensive quarterback behind Russell Wilson. Does he have a big game here?
I mean, big by comparison to what he's done in the regular season, or big by comparison to the playoff quarterbacks? Because I think if that's what you're looking at, then I think he's going to be one of the top three guys.
Out of eight. All right, who's your favorite quarterback this week, guys?
Russell Wilson.
Cousins.
Yeah, Cousins is kind of sneaky. He's 8,000. Russell Wilson's 8,600. Roethlisberger, 8,400. Aaron Rodgers, 8,100. Kirk Cousins, 8,000. All right, well, I just don't... I have Russell Wilson right now, but Rodgers, to me, actually, of those four quarterbacks, Rodgers is the one I want the least.
Oh, I agree.
Isn't that crazy? All right, well, who else do you like in this game?
Still in the concussion protocol.
Who else do you like in this game? Pittsburgh, Cincinnati.
I mean, Green, you mentioned he's got a great history there. He should play well. Mm-hmm. Antonio Brown should obviously play well. I don't think anybody stops him.
I think Wheaton is a really good play.
Wheaton is a good play, but I also like the fact that Roethlisberger is calling out Martavis Bryant.
Yeah.
I think this is a game they need Wheaton underneath. I bet he gets a bunch of catches. Seven-plus catches.
Who has a better game, Tyler Lockett or Marcus Wheaton?
In FanDuel, I would take Lockett by far because of special teams value.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. How about Heath Miller? He's had two good games. I mean, he had 10 catches in one game. He's had two good games against Cincinnati.
Yeah, thoughts? I mean, he's going to be involved, like they've said. You know, these underneath routes. It all depends on how much they use him to block.
I think he's blocking.
Is a big part of that. But he didn't block in the last game. Not like their defense got hurt. Just Dalton.
Pittsburgh allows the fourth fewest rushing yards per game, only 6 rushing touchdowns, second fewest fantasy points to opposing running backs, so not sure you're going to want Jeremy Hill or Giovanni Bernard. All right, who's got a chance of these two teams? Who's got a chance to make a run here?
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think it's got to be Pittsburgh, especially if they end up. I almost think that they're a better – they would have to go to Denver.
They definitely go to Denver.
Yeah, they're the worst seed, so they'd have to go to Denver. And I think that that's a tough matchup for them for the exact same reason why it's a tough matchup for Cincinnati. The Broncos are going to have a tough time putting points on the board and dealing with that Steelers offense.
Well, look, if Cincinnati can win this game and they get Andy Dalton back, I think they can win the Super Bowl.
I agree. I don't know when the Super Bowl.
Does your pick change if Andy Dalton plays?
This week?
Yes.
Yeah, if Dalton plays, they win.
Yeah, it does for me too.
Would you all pick Cincinnati if Dalton plays?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, look.
But he's got to practice all week. He's got to do all that.
Well, he's not practicing today, so you're only going to get most likely at best Friday. My guess is they don't play him, and they try and beat the Steelers. Look, I mean, we could all sit here and say the Steelers can make a run. They have an awful defense, and they're not going to be able to run the ball. You're counting on Roethlisberger to win a game. That's the simple fact of why anybody would look at Pittsburgh and say win.
Yeah. And Jeremy Hill, I know he had his best run of the season. He finally had like a run of longer than 20 yards or whatever in week 17. 38-yard touchdown against Baltimore. So he is really so important to them, and hopefully he can keep it going. The NFC game, Seattle-Minnesota. This was 38-7 Seattle not that long
Dave
ago.
Dave breathing into the microphone.
What?
Dave's doing a lot of heavy breathing.
I don't know. I catch that sometimes. I'm trying to. Sorry. I'll stop breathing.
Well, no. You moved your headset. So like.
Oh, so now it's like closer.
It was
to
like
my...
right here.
There are Dave other people on this podcast, by the way, who breathe heavy into the microphone. I'm not saying who it is.
On this podcast?
Yes.
Is it me?
I'm not naming names.
Wait a second. I need to know. Am I a microphone breather?
Yeah, well, sorry.
Oh, come on, Dave. Anyway, Seattle, Minnesota. 38-7 the score the first time they met. Russell Wilson, 39 fantasy points. All right, Minnesota, obviously their defense is better than what we saw in that first meeting. So what do you expect from the Seahawks offensively?
I think a game where they win, but they don't win the same dominant fashion like we saw the last time around.
Yep.
Yeah, you guys, I'm going to just call you out. I'd like for you to be a little bit more talkative here.
Well, I think Russell Wilson is going to have, you know, not the same game, but the same numbers like what he did against the Rams, you know, where he's in that 22, 23. That's not FanDuel points. That's seasonal scoring leagues.
Right.
You know, around that type of scoring.
Right. And keep in mind, FanDuel is 4 points per passing touchdown. So the rushing quarterbacks, maybe a little more favorable.
We're certainly in a situation where, you know, in that type of format, you know, his running is still going to be a factor.
Right.
And I think you look at his weapons, you know, I don't see them being able to contain Baldwin, Kearse, and Lockett with how those guys have been playing, you know, down the stretch.
I did notice something kind of strange. I looked at Russell Wilson's pass attempts in his, I think, 8 postseason games. Here they are. 26 and 36 in a loss in 2012. 18, 25, and 25 in 2013. 22, 29 in the overtime game against Green Bay, and 21 last year. So basically, he already isn't a guy who throws a lot, but he doesn't throw very much at all. Like, he's 25 or less almost every time in the playoffs. So, or let's say 26 or less. So maybe they just want to run the ball a lot. I don't know.
But you're counting, I mean, Marshawn Lynch has been such a huge part of that, though.
Yeah.
And can you count on that now in this particular scenario, coming off an abdomen injury where he's barely practiced?
Yeah, I can't trust him.
Well, I have him in my FanDuel lineup. I like it. Fresh legs. I think they're putting the game away late. And like you said, bad week for running backs.
He's just expensive. That's the problem.
Yeah. I feel like I've got to see it first.
That's fair. So anybody from Minnesota? Do you like anyone from Minnesota?
No.
Not really, no. It's a terrible matchup for the Vikings. You can make the case for Kyle Rudolph because he's a tight end and maybe he's the guy who works underneath, but they're going to need to come up with some unique stuff to beat the Seattle defense. This is a very tough matchup for the Vikings.
What's the spread? Do you know the latest spread? It was like 7.5 or something.
No, I think it's way lower than that.
No, that was 5.5.
Yeah.
It went to Minnesota? Oh,
no.
My goodness.
No.
Seattle giving 5.5.
I know, but I mean, the line moved toward Minnesota because it opened, I think, at 6.5 or 7 or something. Now it's +5. Wow.
5.5.
All right. I'm seeing 5 on Sportsline, but 5.5, whatever. Oh, my God. I take Seattle in a heartbeat. What's your pick, fellas?
I think Seattle wins by 3 or 4.
I think they win
easy. Seattle wins by 10.
Everybody's on Seattle in the challenges, you know, the playoff type fantasy games. It makes sense, right? I mean, you're going to dispute that? You think Seattle's the best odds of any wild card team to make a Super Bowl run?
You know, it's funny because it kind of leads into who you think is going to be in the Super Bowl for the NFC, because the Cardinals have the easier path if Seattle wins, because that game, Carolina and Seattle, is going to be a bloodbath between those two teams and how they play and how they should play each other. So, they're going to have to potentially go through Carolina and Arizona to get to the Super Bowl, and that's not going to be easy.
Green Bay at Washington. Washington's 5-1 in their last 6 games, but for fantasy purposes, one thing that's been consistent for them, they have been really bad against number one wide receivers. In that 6-game stretch, 5 wide receivers, one on 5 different teams, has scored 16 fantasy points or more in standard scoring leagues. You got Beckham, Jeffrey, Watkins, and Matthews at over 100 yards, and all 4 of them scored at least once. You had Terrence Williams, 173 yards. Now, look, that was last week. They were resting guys. So I got James Jones in my FanDuel lineup. Just, you know, I'd probably rather have Cobb, but couldn't afford him. But I don't even know about that. Who would you, if you were going to pick one wide receiver on Green Bay, who would you pick?
Oh, Jones.
I agree. I think that that's actually a very smart pick, Adam.
Well, thank you, Dave. Give me your thoughts on this game. Dave, you said Kirk Cousins is your favorite quarterback this week.
I think he keeps it going at home. We've seen him play well against bad defenses, and I'm not convinced that the Packers' defense is great. And I think momentum is just a huge – momentum is a real factor in playoff football, and I think the Redskins have it. It ended up being a very smart decision by them to play their starters last week and to give Kirk Cousins that momentum. He's lucky he didn't get hurt. They're all lucky they didn't get hurt. But I think Cousins does have 3-score potential against the Packers.
You know, if you believe in Kirk Cousins, I really cannot make a case for Green Bay to win this game. Like, the only case I can make is, well, playoff experience, and Rodgers has been there, and he's won a Super Bowl, and blah, 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 and Washington, this is all new for them, and Kirk Cousins might struggle in his first playoff game. But if you don't think that's going to happen, like, how could Green Bay possibly win this game?
I don't know. I'm not picking them.
And I'm not sure. I guess I don't have quite that much faith in Washington. Washington still doesn't have a very good defense. But Jamie, what are your thoughts on this game? How do you see it playing out?
It just, you know, I mean, the thought of Aaron Rodgers is going to turn it on. And he's going to help them win the game. You know, and really, you could look at it and say, what's so different between his situation and Roethlisberger's situation? Because they both have flaws. You know, the Steelers with their defense and their running game, the Packers with their receivers and their running game. And clearly you say, okay, quarterback can make a difference. But I don't know if that's the case with him right now, because you got a left tackle situation that's awful. You got a running game that they tend to get away from, and the times has been awful. You have a receiver core that just doesn't make a lot of plays and get open. But, you know, he said it, and it kind of lends itself to maybe that's going to be the case. That fourth quarter that they had against Minnesota was as good as they've looked in a long time. And they opened things up, and he said it. He goes, well, we finally played a little free. So maybe that's just the thing that they do, is they come out and they say, Aaron, it's your game. It's your ball. Go do what you got to do. And
what have you got to lose? One of those kinds of things.
And so, yeah, they could easily win this game. I mean, Washington, if I looked at it correctly, they haven't beaten a winning team all season.
Oh, wow. Interesting. That's probably true. Yeah, yeah. All right, so I think the Redskins, let's see the current line. They are 1-point underdogs to the Packers. And you guys think the Redskins win?
Yeah,
I do.
All right, so who...
And then they go on the road the next week and get smashed.
Yep. So here's their... They beat the Rams, not a 500 team. They beat the Eagles, no. They beat the Bucks, no. The Saints, no. Giants, no. Bears, no. Bills, no. Eagles, Cowboys.
Well, Bills were a 500 team, but they weren't above 500.
Yeah. That's it.
Bills were the best team they beat.
All right, so any other fantasy, like Eddie Lacy, what do you think about Eddie Lacy in this game?
If they give him work, he'll probably get you, you know, decent production. I don't think it's a bad play, just based on what the running backs are and what his cost is.
I have him for what it's
worth. Yeah, I have him in one of my lineups, too.
Deshaun Jackson, we didn't talk about Doug Baldwin. What do you guys think about those guys this week?
I think they're fantastic.
Yeah?
I mean, especially, again, if Sam Shields is out as expected.
Mm-hmm.
So Sam Shields is expected to miss the game?
Well, as of Wednesday, he was still in the concussion protocol from 2 weeks ago.
Okay. So who do you guys like for FanDuel this week?
I just set a lineup right now.
Yeah,
would you like to hear it?
I've done two.
All right, I got Kirk Cousins at quarterback, and I stacked him with Jordan Reed. Eddie Lacy at one running back. Alfred Blue is the other because he was cheap. Receivers, Antonio Brown, A.J. Green, James Jones. My kicker is Nick Novak, and I just went contrarian at defense with Washington, but I've got enough left over to go with pretty much any defense other than the Seahawks and the Chiefs.
All right, well, who's your tight
end? Maybe I switch to the Texans.
Read your lineup again. I missed it. I'm sorry.
Oh, thanks for not listening, Adam. That really makes me feel
good. I know your quarterback and your
team. Now I have no confidence. Now I'm going to change my whole team.
Go for it.
Cousins is the quarterback, Lacy and Blue at running back, Brown, Green, James Jones at wide receiver, Jordan Reed stacking with Kirky Cousins, Nick Novak is my kicker, and the Houston Texans defense I upgraded from Washington.
All right, Jamie, what do you think? What do you got?
That's a good lineup. I did two. You want both or want one?
Yeah, just one.
Okay, I did one with Russell Wilson, Spencer Ware, and Eddie Lacy at running back. A.J. Green, Antonio Brown, and Tyler Lockett at receiver. Tyler Eifert at tight end. Crosby, just because he's the cheapest kicker. And then the Seahawks defense.
Okay, and I have Russell Wilson, Marshawn Lynch, Eddie Lacy, A.J. Green, James Jones, and Tyler Lockett, Jordan Reed, Mason Crosby, and the Chiefs. So you guys both have Antonio Brown in there.
A lot of people will.
Not scared off by a lot of these guys.
I mean, it's right. Hard to avoid it.
What, are you scared off by Brown's, you know, not... For him, subpar production and the fact that he's the most expensive, not just the most expensive wide receiver, the most expensive player in FanDuel this week.
No, because I think he's the one guy that's worth it.
Okay. And his subpar production for him against Cincinnati is what I was saying. Then, who, if you were doing a playoff long fantasy, you know, contest, who would you be looking for? Who are your favorites in that, in those formats?
Well, I mean, the thing you got to look at is who do you think is going to advance the farthest.
Right.
So you want to try and get three games out of your guys. And so if you're looking at it from the guys that play in the wild card round, you want them to, you know, play into at least the conference championship. And from the divisional round, you got to get guys that are going to play in the Super Bowl. So you got to map out who you think is going to win. And I think that lends itself to certainly with a chance to get four games, if you're banking on the Steelers or Seahawks advancing, you try and load up on those guys if you possibly can. Now, it depends on your scoring system, because I'm in one playoff challenge league that's run through a friend of mine. That is, you can only use the guys once. So once you use them, they're done. You can't use them twice. So you got to make sure you get quarterbacks through, you know, to the Super Bowl. And, you know, it's a little bit more of a strategy to it. You know, making sure you get guys that are going to have big points in the wild card round, but then you can't use them down the road if they advance.
Okay. So who do you see advancing, guys? Dave, you want to chime in here? What do you guys think?
I don't know if there's a wild card team that I think can go all the way to the Super Bowl.
Not Seattle?
No. I think Carolina and Arizona are just a cut above everybody else in the conference. And I really like Carolina. I think I'd make it a point to get Cam Newton on my team.
I like the Patriots. I think they have the easiest path.
Almost like they lost on purpose.
Well, why?
To avoid playing, to avoid the second round matchup against Pittsburgh. They wouldn't see Pittsburgh until the conference championship.
I mean, it's unbelievable. It's like people thought that they gave the Jets the ball because they didn't want to see Pittsburgh. And now losing on purpose because they didn't want to see Pittsburgh. It's like, come on. By the way, who won the Dolphins-Patriots game last week? I missed it.
I forget. Listen, it sounds
pretty easy. Oh, yeah, congratulations.
Nice
job. Nice job by you.
It sounds easy to say that about the Patriots. It would be something if it came out that that's really what they tried to do.
It will never come out that that's what they tried to do.
I know, but like, why would they purposely... If they wanted to lose the game against the Jets, they would have found a way to do it before overtime. And if they wanted to lose the game against the Dolphins... Well, I guess they did that. But
the stupid thing with the Dolphins is if in fact that was the case, I don't think the Jets game was the case. If the Dolphins game was the case,
then why play Brady at all?
Why play Brady at all?
I think it's silly. I think the Patriots are so good and unbeatable at home, unless you're the Eagles, that they clearly wanted to get the number one seed. And I'm sure they're without knowing anything, I'm sure they are disappointed about being the number two because they've already lost at Denver this year. And if they go to Denver, that could trip them up. But I think they're the best team. Because right now they're not playing well, but Edelman will be back, and Amendola will be healthy, and Vollmer will be back.
That's who I want to see. If Vollmer plays for them, their offense should be just fine.
Yeah, it's just they're gonna turn up. They're so injured right now, but they will be healthier in the second round as long as Brady's fine, which it seems like he is.
Chandler Jones too, Adam.
Chandler Jones, right? Exactly.
Need him back. The bye is good for them. Yeah.
Banged up too. Yeah. They're very injured.
Sean got banged up in Week 17. Another reason. Why would they play him if they were trying to lose?
I think the thing that makes me concerned about Carolina is the fact that they're going to most likely play Seattle in the second round. And they're now down Charles Tillman. So they're basically playing their fourth string cornerback opposite Norman. And with facing Arizona with all those receivers, you can avoid Norman easily. So Palmer, I think, could have a very big game against Carolina's defense if they can keep pressure off them. And as we know about Carolina, all their pressure comes from the middle of the defense as opposed to their edge rushers because they really don't have any. So I think Arizona could upset Carolina, especially if that's such a physical game between Carolina and Seattle and they come out of that a little bit beat up. Not just necessarily guys getting injured, but just physically beat up.
All right, official Super Bowl picks. I am going to go with the Cardinals beating the Patriots in Super Bowl 50. Dave.
Carolina Panthers are your Super Bowl champions, and they will defeat the Denver Broncos. And I'm only picking the Broncos because no one else is.
All right, Jamie.
I wrote on the site Panthers. The Patriots beat the Panthers, but I feel more likely looking at the matchups with the injuries to Carolina that's going to be Patriots over Cardinals.
Jamie, you and I are like agreeing. I mean, I have the Cardinals winning, but.
Yeah.
Same page.
You know that I believe it's EA Sports and Madden picked Cardinals Steelers rematch.
When? At the beginning of the season?
I think so.
Oh,
somebody
cool.
Told me that.
Cool.
What was your preseason pick?
Not worth mentioning.
I had Packers Broncos.
I had Seahawks Ravens.
Oh yeah, yay, Ravens.
Yeah.
That Ravens is going to be a good pick next year.
I don't know. I don't really feel that way. I know a lot of people are saying that, but
I think they're going to be great.
I don't know, Super Bowl, but they're definitely going to be in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, they're so well coached, but I think there's a lack of talent on that team, especially defensively.
Yeah, they need to draft well, which Ozzie Newsome typically does.
Yep. All right, guys, thank you very much. Great show, and enjoy the
thank
games.
Thank you, Adam.
And Wolf, we're podcasting next Monday, so be excited. Dave, Richard, Jamie Eisenberg, I'm Adam Azer. See you later.
Bye.